We're going over some of the narratives of the birth of Christ coming from the Sunday. And so today, I want to actually focus our attention a little bit on Mary. So turn to Luke chapter 1. We're going to read from verse 26 down. It says, "And now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, 'Hail, favored one, the Lord is with you.' But she was greatly troubled at this statement and kept pondering what kind of salutation this might be. And the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call him, name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end.' And Mary said to the angel, 'How could this be, since I am a virgin?' And the angel answered and said to her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the holy offspring should be called the Son of God. And behold, even your relative Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age, and she who is called barren is now in her sixth month. For nothing will be impossible with God.' And Mary said, 'Behold, the bondslave of the Lord, be it done to me according to your word.' And the angel departed from her." Now let's go down. Let's go to verse 46. This is the Mary's song, what they call the Magnificat. He says, "And Mary said, 'My soul exalts the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. For he has had regard for the humble state of his bondslave. For behold, from this time on, all generations will count me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is upon generation after generation toward those who fear him. He has done mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in the thoughts of their heart. He has brought down rulers from their thrones. He has exalted those who are humble. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent away the rich empty-handed. He has given help to Israel, his servant, in remembrance of his mercy. He has spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and his offspring forever." And then if you go down to chapter 2, Jesus' birth happens here. Let's go 17. "And when they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told to them about this child. And all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all they had seen and heard, just as had been told them." Amen. Whoa. So one of the things as Protestants that a lot of times we seem to totally bypass the story of Mary. And I know it's because, we don't worship Mary. There's this whole Catholic Protestant thing that's going on. Obviously we don't worship Mary, but I would say that in the creation narrative or the birth, the nativity narrative, you have to look at Mary as a central figure, and you have to kind of get into her mind, into her idea. You know, the words, now picture yourself, okay, going back to the first century, the words, "I am pregnant," evoke such a wide range of emotions. I'll be really honest with you guys. When I was single and getting up in age, and a friend of mine told me they were pregnant, you know, my first thought was not joy. It was actually bitterness. You know, it'd be like, "Oh, great. How come I'm not married? How come I'm not having a child?" In early, you know, back in the days, it evoked this like, "Hey, it's good for you, but what about me? You know, I should be married by now. I should be the one having these kids," and so on and so forth. And so you go through that. Now, for me, I remember the first time that Lisa said, "Hey, guess what? We're pregnant." And it was like awe, fear, trepidation, joy. unspeakable. I mean, it was so much a range of emotions that go through. That was the first one. The second one is like, what? Are you sure? This is impossible. And then the third one, okay. And then the fourth one, really? Are you serious? It's just crazy how everyone, nah, I love all my kids equally, okay? I don't want you to get any idea. But the first one was just pure joy, right? Like, wow, finally, da-da. And then by the time you get to the fourth one, we're just like, oh, you got to be kidding me. This can't be real. But there's such a different range of responses that we have. For some, hearing that word, I'm pregnant, evokes a tremendous amount of fear. It invokes, because maybe you're dealing with financial issues, maybe you're dealing with relational stress, maybe your spouse and your relationship is not very healthy, and you know that, and all of a sudden you're like, oh my goodness, a child is going to come into this situation. Maybe you're not married, and you're having a child out of wedlock, and all of a sudden, though, I'm pregnant, and it's like, oh my gosh. I mean, so it's not the huge joyful celebration that we kind of think. Sometimes for some, there's anger because, like I said, because of the uncertainty of the relationship. What? How? I'm pregnant. Didn't you use protection? You know, what's wrong with you? You know, and you go through this whole gamut of these things. And now picture Mary. Mary is not married. She's the Bible says that she's betrothed. Now, we don't really understand what that means, okay, in our culture. But in the Jewish culture or in the first century Palestinian culture, it's as if you're married. It means that the parents have already given you over to this man or to this woman. You're betrothed to them, and it's as if you're already married. You just haven't gone to the actual ceremony yet and consummated the marriage and all these things. But it was as if it's already a done deal. And so in this situation, for this to happen, I mean, it's a pretty huge thing. And so Mary, seemingly from the descriptions, man, she was shocked. What? How can this be? Are you serious? You know, and notice, I mean, in this, she's having an angelic visitation, right? And she's like, I can't believe this is happening here. That's one side. You know, pregnancy is really the ultimate analogy. If you think about it, everything in life is like pregnancy. Everything that we go through. As in pregnancy, everything in life starts with a possibility, right? And then proceeds to reality. Every single one of us, some of you guys have gone through this. You wanted to get an education. And so you've been thinking about it since you were a kid. Your parents have been thinking about it much longer than you have. And you've been going through, and then you apply for colleges. What becomes a possibility starts moving into these action steps, and then eventually becomes reality. You think about that with everything. How many of you guys are in a relationship right now? Either you're married, you know, or you're in a relationship. Same thing. Your relationship was very much like a pregnancy. It started with the possibility, that girl looks pretty good, you know. Well, that guy's not bad. And it starts with a possibility, and now I know most of you guys in this room are married, and so you raise your hand, and now it turned into reality. You had this wedding day, and then this life afterwards. You know, a lot of times when I'm, sometimes when, you know, I'm having a very intimate moment with my wife, you know, we're talking, and we're like really connecting, and sometimes I look at her, and I'm not trying to earn brownie points, she's not even here, right, and I doubt she's going to listen online anyway. But I feel like, man, I can't believe I married this person. Like, I can't believe we have a life together. And we are going to have, you know, we have 3.2 kids right now. Right? I mean, it's just this crazy two, because only 2 cm right now, right? So, you know, 2 months. So I'm using the math. You know, by the way, it's not 9 months to have a child. It's actually longer than that. It's actually 40 weeks. Which is kind of interesting, you know, 40 days. 40 is quite a significant number in Scripture. In any case, And so I sit there and I was like, I can't believe we had this life. Especially way back when she would have nothing to do with me. And it went from a possibility to reality. And that's what pregnancy is like. Pregnancy evokes these kind of things. That this idea of conception to delivery is rooted in really the founding fundamentals of God's operations in this world. Everything God does goes from conception to delivery. And so you see how this birth really brings about a great theme, really, in understanding the things that God does. And in this, life is always a miracle. Always a miracle. I remember the first ultrasound. Because, you know, most first-time parents, when they go to the first ultrasound, you know, you're excited and stuff, but you have no idea what you're looking at. It's literally a smudge. And people say, oh, trust me, it's a smudge. And then, you know, and the doctor's like, there it is. And you're like, what? It looks like some kind of ink blot. And then he does a close-up. Well, my doctor was a guy, so he does a close-up. And all of a sudden, when you get the close-up of the ultrasound, you see this little thing fluttering. It's like, and really fast. It's exactly what it looks like. And it's the heart. And you're like, wow. Life is a miracle. There's only one parent in here. And so, trust me, when your time comes, you'll see this. And it's just... Though it's just, you're just blown away at the greatness of God. Literally, it's just smudge. The thing's 2 cm. I mean, ours is two months. It's just 2 cm, tiny little thing. Literally looks like an ink blot, but in the close-up, you look really closely, and on the side of this ink blot, you'll see something fluttering really quickly. It's the baby's heart. It's crazy. Life is an absolute miracle. God's purposes from conception to reality. It's, you know, I mean, it's morning, but we're getting pretty deep right now when we think about these things. And just, and on a side note, think about all these things that God is doing in your life right now. You're not seeing it maybe in reality, but trust me, if it's God's will, there's something going on. Another way of saying that is there's something growing inside of you. Now, obviously, we're men, so we don't really experience that. But I tell you, the purposes of God, if it's God's will, if this is God's ordained time, there is something growing inside of you. Now, obviously, this is in the natural, pregnancy is a 40-week journey. For some of us, it may be a 10-year journey. From conception to delivery. For some, it may be a four-day journey. Who knows, right? God's got his own wisdom. The secret things belong to the Lord. But if God has birthed something in you, if there's something that you sense God is doing in your life and you know that this is what's supposed to happen, this is yours, trust me, there is something growing inside of you right now. It's amazing. I mean, just think about that for a moment. It's maybe not come to delivery yet, but there is something growing inside of you. There's some purpose of God that's residing in you right now. Not in your belly, in your spirit. There's something that Holy Spirit is doing that's really going to come about. As Protestants, let's go back to the text. As Protestants, we need to appreciate Mary more. When I really look at her, and I get outside of the whole Catholic idolatry and move past that, I come to this place and I realize, man, she really was an incredibly special woman. Did you guys ever see what was that movie, The Passion? You know, Mel Gibson, his movie on Christ. If you notice at the end of the movie, you know, when Jesus is getting crucified, I mean, really a horrific scene. But because Gibson's a Catholic, he spends quite a bit of time playing off characters off one another. And if you notice, and I really like this. I know a lot of Protestants really didn't, but I really enjoyed the interplay. If you notice, remember he was getting whipped and going to the cross. There was this scene of the devil, remember? And he was walking through the crowd. He's wearing a hood, and he had like some demonic thing on his shoulder. Do you remember that scene? Really, really gross. And he's got really, he looks like an orc, basically, from Lord of the Rings. And so he's walking through, and then Gibson will show the devil, you know, Satan, and then will show Mary. And the devil's like sneering and, you know, is really happy about this whole situation. And then he cuts to Mary, and Mary's just like just so troubled. Like, what's going on? You could feel the anguish and the terror and all these things. And then it will flash to the devil, and he's like walking around as if he's orchestrating this whole thing, which is actually biblically correct. And then it flips to Mary. And she's in anguish, and you know, because at the same time, it's her firstborn son that's being crucified and beaten up. And I mean, you can imagine what's going on inside. And so I mean, I remember seeing that, and afterwards, I had a greater appreciation for Mary through the movie and through this whole episode and things. And then Mary's song, if you remember the song, the Magnificat, it says in the end of verse 48, it says, "For he had regard for the humble state of his bondslave. For behold, from this time on, all generations will count me blessed." Now, some have taken this verse to mean that Mary is to be esteemed above all others. And honestly, there is an unusual, exalted place that Mary was given above other beings, simply by the fact that she was the avenue by which the Lord Jesus Christ would come into this world. But there's nothing in the Bible that suggests that she is to be esteemed, praised, or acknowledged as the mediator between God and man. It doesn't exist in the Bible. There is no evidence in Scripture. There's one verse here that says that, you know, all generations will count me blessed. But there's no other evidence in that. In fact, the word "blessed" that's used here in Luke 2 is the Greek word makarazo, and what this word, the text, is synonymous. Actually, is really the word "happy" more than anything else. There's the other Greek word for praised or exalted is eulogio. That's where we get the word eulogy from. And that's not the word that's used here as the term blessed. It's the word makarazo, which really just means happy. And what Mary is basically saying is, all generations will count me so happy because the prophecy of Isaiah is coming true in this regard. And so I just want to make that statement so I don't get misunderstood that we're praising Mary here in that regard. So she's not exalted above all men, all right? She's blessed. She's blessed in the sense that she's the avenue by which the Son of God comes into this world. God has to use somebody. Use Mary. God has to come through a people. He chooses the Jews. I don't think the Jews are any better than any other race in the world. None of those things, but they're blessed because they're the race by which Jesus, the Savior of the world, comes into the world. And so we have this situation. So what can we learn from Mary through this whole thing? And probably more than just Mary, what can we learn in terms of, how do I say, through this whole thing? Mary is a prototype, or she's a model of the happy things that God wants us to experience. He says, all generations will count me blessed. So happy. And she really is a model for us. What happened to Mary was biological. She was literally impregnated with a baby. The parallel, as it bears on each one of us, is just as real. It's the coming of Jesus into our lives, not necessarily into our wombs, but more so into our hearts. And so let's look at this. Here, God's redemptive promise to Mary, to grow in her, to be delivered through her, to change the world around you. Four simple points. I'm actually going to preach this next year. Four simple points. One, God wants to enter into your life. That's a simple thing. God, Holy Spirit, wants to enter into your life. God wants to impregnate you with His Holy Spirit. Not just Mary, every single one of us. God wants to live inside of us. When we say Jesus wants to enter your life, what we're saying is Jesus wants to be a part of your life. And not just a little part. He wants to be a huge part. More than anything else, He wants to be the source of your life. He wants to be an active participator, not just a spectator. And so, I mean, let's just meditate on that for a moment. Is the Lord, and I imagine you're here at morning prayer, so which probably means that you're a Christian, as a follower of Christ, is the Lord, is He an active participator in your life, or is He merely a spectator? Does He just come, does He sit on the bench and just come in during crunch time? You know, when the game's already over, and you're like, oh, yeah, Jesus, okay, yeah, you know, let's do something here. Or is He the real source of your life? I think it's a really important question this morning. The decisions that you make, let me think about this, and how you can really find out is how you take care of three very important things: how you handle your time, how you handle your finances, and how you handle your heart. This will pretty much dictate who is Lord and where the source is, right? Just simply look at your bank statement and look at your calendar. I mean, even in these two things, you can pretty much figure out where your heart is in this regard. And then in light of that, is the Lord the source of your life? Is He central in the decisions that you make, or is He an afterthought in the decision process, right? God simply wants to enter into your life. The other part of that too is that Jesus wants to grow inside of you. Just like the Mary's pregnancy. Not only does He want to enter into your life and want to be the source of your life, God wants to grow inside of you. The crazy thing is, using this pregnancy analogy, now, I've never been pregnant, and so, but I've experienced my wife three times going through this process. It's very uncomfortable. Very uncomfortable. Even trying to sleep, you know, later on in the stages, it's tough. And this is the reality. When Jesus gets inside of you, there's going to be a lot of stretching. There's going to be a lot of ways that you'll have to change the way you walk, right? If you notice, pregnant women, the more pregnant they get, the more they walk like a duck. I don't know if you've ever noticed that before, right? Their gait goes from side to side instead of up and back. I'm not trying to make fun of pregnant women, okay? But I'm just telling you that's what happens. And even the way you walk changes when that something is growing inside of you. That's a great analogy for us. When Jesus is growing inside of us, it's going to stretch you. It's going to stretch you beyond what you can imagine. When I look at my wife's tummy now, right, and it's, you know, it's she's in fairly decent shape, and just realize that skin is going to stretch. No, that's kind of a bad way of my noise. It's good thing she's not here, right? But the skin is going to stretch. And it's all, almost like, I can't believe the skin. And then once, if you've ever seen pregnant women, and then the skin stretches so much, you know, your belly button turns inside out. And next thing you know, your belly button was an insy. Now it's like a major outie. It's out like 2 inches, you know, from the body. And, yeah, I mean, just go to any pregnant woman. You'll see. It stretches a lot. Sorry. I'm getting really graphic this morning. It stretches a lot. I mean, that's my main point. And just like the stretch that does to a pregnant woman, in that same way, God growing inside of you is going to stretch you beyond what you can imagine. And it's going to change the way that you walk, right? In other words, it's going to change the way that you behave. It's going to change the way that you react. It's going to change the way that you live. And you let Jesus grow inside of you. You know, a lot of times it may not look pretty, Right, but your life will become all that God wants to be. You'll come into fruition, into delivery. And so Jesus wants to enter inside of you. Jesus wants to grow you. And the last thing, I just want to close here, it's getting too late. Jesus wants to change the world around you, just like Mary. So Holy Spirit enters Mary. She conceives a child. The child grows within, and then that child ends up changing the world. What the Lord Jesus Christ is doing in your life, what the Spirit of God has impregnated you with, your calling, your gifts, your acquired traits, your skills, all these things that Spirit of God has birthed inside of you that's coming into fruition, those things are going to change the world. It's going to change someone's life. It's going to bring incredible joy to so many people. 2 weeks ago, we had baptism service. And one of our sisters got baptized. She brought a bunch of her friends to service. And first time they'd been to church. And then last week, our Christmas service, the second service, we had an altar call. And one of the girls that came during the baptism service, she really enjoyed the service. And on Sunday, she gave her life to the Lord, right? The second time in church. And it was amazing. And she came up and, you know, said hi. Because I said, hey, I want you to come see me after her service. And she came and said hi. And, you know, tears running down her eyes. She was like, yeah, I gave my life to the Lord. And then her friend came up and we're talking. And she was like, yeah, this is our second time in church. I was like, really? I mean, it was crazy. And she was like so, like in her eyes, so mesmerized, so joyful. She can sense the adventure coming through. And in that, and I was thinking, wow, talk about from vision to reality, you know, from birth to, from conception to delivery, you know, in this sister who got baptized, this is a long process for her. From conception to actually the birth or the delivery, her getting baptized, and already has such a powerful effect on her family and others around. You know, when God births things in our life, it's not just meant to be blessing for us. And that's good, too. But it's always meant to overflow in blessing to others around us. Right? God will change the world around you when the purposes of God are birthed in our lives. Isn't that amazing? You know, God's so good in that regard. From conception to delivery. Everything that God does in our life goes from conception to delivery. Amen? Let's close our eyes. It's kind of amazing. I actually wanted to talk about Mary, but I guess God had something else in mind this morning. Kind of changed the direction a bit. Maybe I'll talk about Mary tomorrow. In any case, I want you to, let's pray in this. What is God birthing in you? What is an unfulfilled promise in your life? What is God's will in your life that has not come into fruition yet? What should you be experiencing in God that you're not experiencing now? Listen, church, don't get disheartened. Don't lose faith. Because that very thing is growing inside of you right now. And then when it comes to full term, whatever the design and time of God is, you're going to have delivery. And that delivery is going to be a blessing, an absolute blessing. And so let's go before the Lord and let's just pray through. What are the promises of God that I'm not experiencing right now? Let the Holy Spirit speak to you. Don't be discouraged. Don't be dismayed. That which God is doing is growing inside of you. Let's pray together.
You created the heavens. Lord, it was your hands that put the stars in their place. Lord, it was your voice the morning, as even though shines at their ways, bow at your feet. Lord, who am I compared to your glory?
purposes of God that we are impregnated with that hasn't quite come to fruition yet, but let's not lose heart. That thing is growing inside of you. What an incredible journey to have the purposes of God growing inside of you. It may not come into reality yet, but it's growing. God is doing something behind the scenes. It's the miracle of life that starts with this little spot, with a little flutter, and it just grows and just grows and grows. And then when it's time, birth happens. Don't get discouraged that birth is not happening. If that very thing doesn't grow inside of you, and God has the right timing. You know, a baby born prematurely, they die. The person of God born prematurely, they ruin us. And so let's just go to the Lord and say, God, I just trust you, Lord. I just trust you with what you're doing in my life. I trust you with these unfulfilled promises. Lord, I believe in you. I know it's growing inside of me. So Lord, in your right timing, let it come and let it be. Oh, let's just pledge our ultimate trust in God who's growing inside of us. So let's pray together. Let's go to our community prayer focus. Let's pray for our community that are battling cancer. Let's pray for the delivery of healing over their lives. Let's cover that.
Let's continue to pray for our community. Let's pray for those who are suffering from illnesses, but also that really need that word of salvation in their life. So let's just really pray for our community. Also continue to pray for those who have other illnesses. Let's just really pray for God's healing over their lives. Let's also pray for those people in our community who are looking for jobs. Let's just really pray that God will continue to provide, and in this time of waiting, that they would have patience and trust in the Lord. Turn to our community focus. Let's really pray for North Korea and South Korea. Let's pray for the peninsula. Let's also pray for Japan. And let's just really pray for the ministries and the ministers who are there. And let's just really pray that God will continue to be with them. Also for South Korea and our future church plan. And let's just really pray for God to continue to lead us. Let's also pray for our ministries here at church. Let's pray for our prayer ministries, intercessory prayer, IP team. Let's pray for the Well and Cascade, as well as the hospitality ministries, Welcoming and Barista. Let's just really pray for those serving, and as well as the leaders, that God would give them wisdom, and even as they serve, that they would be just really filled with joy. Let's also pray for the Hong Kong Korean Church. Let's pray for Pastor Choi. Let's pray for just spiritual growth of just this body of Christ and unity. Let's just really pray blessing over our brothers and sisters. Let's also pray for the house churches that are meeting today. Let's pray for Soho and Harborside. Let's just pray for the house church leaders. And as they finish up this season, let's just really pray for these communities to grow closer even today. Let's also pray for our local outreach ministries. Let's pray for SP Lights and Homey Ministries. Let's pray for all the ministers and those volunteers who are serving here. Let's pray for the leaders and really for wisdom as they give love to those just in our community who need it. So Lord Jesus, we thank you. We just thank you that you came on this earth for us. And so as we remember just the works that you are doing already in our life, God, we put them in your hands, Father. And we trust in you and your timing. God, would you continue to be with us this day as we go about our work, about our business, Father, that we would trust in you and trust with you all the things that you are doing in our life, Father, knowing that you are working in us and knowing that you have a good plan, Father, that you will see to completion. So Lord, we thank you. Continue to bless us in all this, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Bless you guys, and please continue to pray this morning.